The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Kez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday season is just around the corner, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. A big chunk of gingerbread that you can enjoy without it going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap also. And at almost 5 ounces, this soap should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. On Cullendon Lane, Jacksonville, Florida, Chuck Buick finally gave up. Chuck enjoys marijuana, so he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. I went to the washroom, and even from there, it sounded like a real live lady singing right outside the door. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing, and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Search, rescue, ventilate. Somebody's singed a kitten. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Now, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-282. Bong.
The best music on the best station.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Tuesday, November 3, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Bong! We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you want free legal advice, better call Bo, or actually just go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Get all the free legal advice you want. For November. Or, by the way, there's a link on the podcast page. You can't miss it. Every time you go to the show page at BobSeska.com, right next to the Realm logo, the Realm Network logo on each individual podcast page, you'll see a link to TheBowenLawGroup.com. Okay, we got a massive show. We're doing the show early today, so the show is going up early on Tuesday. And I'd like to say, because we're doing this because we want you to get out and vote. If you happen right. to be 70 years old or older and you vote in off-year elections, go and vote. I, of course, am not registered in California yet, so bad me. I'm not voting today.
Oh, were we supposed to vote today?
Today. Attention. Today's an off-year, yeah. It's a thing. Where there's, it's like state and local elections.
Yeah, no, I haven't paid attention. Too busy.
See, I have a good excuse. You're not paying attention. That's not a good excuse, young man.
It's a great excuse.
We're going to talk about
something. I'm up to my ass and work. I don't.
We're going to talk about something that's on the Ohio ballot today in a little bit. A couple stories where liberals are completely screwing the pooch. On a couple things. One is the Ohio pot legalization initiative, which liberals seem to be against for some reason. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Plus, a lot of our friends on the left were had by some hackers claiming to be anonymous yesterday. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
You wrote a great piece on that in the Daily Banter. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But first, the whining from the debate, the CNBC debate. They're still crying about this thing. I don't know what the... And the Republicans.
They've released a list of demands.
Yes.
I love that. A list of demands. And Ted Cruz says that it would be great if the Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity hosted the debates.
Yeah, exactly.
They really just they cannot handle any puncturing of that bubble they live in.
No, definitely not. I mean, it was just insane about it is that, again, as we talked about last week, they were saying the same crap about Megyn Kelly in the Fox News debate. This has nothing to do with whether their moderators are friendly. It has everything to do with the fact that they just don't want to be asked challenging questions. And in this case, they were asked challenging questions by CNBC. And by
the way, you know, just the idea, incidentally, of putting, of all people, Sean Hannity up there. For some reason, I just got fixated on that because Sean Hannity is exactly the kind of guy. He is such a Republican brown noser.
Yeah.
You know, he refuses to ever question or challenge anything that comes from any Republican. I could totally see, like, Mr. Cruz, why don't you tell us about your tax plan? And then, you know, Ted Cruz just goes off on this insane rant. That's a great idea. I like that. Yeah, that's what they want.
That's great. Yeah, definitely great. Great, Mr. Cruz.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And every other question would be like, so how great are you?
Juan Williams, what do you think? Well, I f*** you.
I think you're all great. Sean Hannity here with the Republican debate tonight. You're all great. You're the greatest. Can I come over there and suck your dick? Thank you. Great. That'll be great. Is that part of the demands from the RNC? Jesus. I mean, one of the things is they actually wanted to know where the bathrooms were. I mean, that's actually a condition to sign on to the debates now, according to this memo. Ben Ginsburg wrote up this memo for the RNC on behalf of the various candidates. By the way, Carly Fiorina and Chris Christie have both backed away from all of the whining.
Well, Donald Trump was the first one to say that he's of course going rogue on this, and he's going to present his own demands because, you know, Donald Trump, he's that ace negotiator, art of the deal. So he's the one who he knows how to negotiate this. He'll take care of it.
You know, I remember
once again, he's what's his name from Die Hard?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, see, I'm old enough to remember, like, I don't know, 8-9 years ago when it was the Republicans who were always walking in lockstep. And we were like, I remember going on Cenk Uygur's show. I remember going on the Young Turks. And this is before I started to hate Cenk Uygur. But I remember we were talking about how the Republicans always walk in lockstep. And when will the Democrats finally get their act together?
Well, and look at it now.
Look at it now. Yeah. I mean, they can't even agree on their whining.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't even get together on the crying.
I was thinking about that the other day. It's funny how far the tables have turned. Because they genuinely have. I mean, there was a time, and you know what's interesting is that the Republicans have the nerve to bitch about this. There was a whole period during the Bush administration when they would allow nothing in terms of what the Democrats wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. It was like, I mean, what's his name? Sensenbrenner actually shut the lights off at one point and left the Democrats by themselves during a meeting to just rant, you know, because he didn't care. They were in charge of everything. And now it's completely flipped around. The Democrats completely have their act together, and these people are whining about everything.
Yeah, literally everything. I mean, one of the things right here is they're making sure that the networks don't allow members of the audience to wear political messages. And then they're looking for enforcement of that. Yeah. Then they're making sure that they don't show any empty podiums after the break. I guess that's an okay demand. But then in parentheses after that, it says, describe how far away the bathrooms are. The bathrooms. They need to know where the bathrooms are. They can't be prevented from taking a wee-wee in the middle of the debate.
Right.
They will not allow props or pledges by the candidates. They will not allow candidate-to-candidate questioning. See, remember when everyone was just waiting for a real debate? When are we going to have a real debate instead of 3 minutes statement and then 3 minute rebuttal and then 1 minute rebuttal to the rebuttal and then 1 minute rebuttal to the rebuttal to the rebuttal?
And now we've got this. And there's no hypocrisy there. Mm-hmm. There's just because hypocrisy doesn't even enter into it. It just all they want is what they want.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what? By the way, I noticed this today. This is one of the big stories of the day as we record the show on Tuesday, November 3rd. Obama laid into the Republicans all of this. But I want to play something. This is maybe some evidence that someone at the White House is listening to the show. This is our show from last Thursday, right before the first commercial break. You can't handle tough questions. Here's a Republican line back at the Republicans. You can't handle tough questions from John Harwood. How are you going to handle Putin?
Yeah.
So how about them apples? Okay, so that was us on the show last Thursday. Here's Barack Obama talking about the Republicans and their whining about the CNBC debate.
Have you noticed that every one of these candidates say, you know, Obama's weak. Putin's kicking sand in his face. When I talk to Putin, he's going to straighten out. Just looking at him, he's going to be. And then it turns out they can't handle a bunch of CNBC moderators.
Oh, yeah, no, that's so awesome. That was such a wonderful smackdown.
I love it. They can't handle the CNBC moderators. Did they ever stop to consider how ridiculous they would look, how silly they would look in the face of the CNBC moderators, given the fact that they're running for the presidency of the United States, where every day is about unpredictable challenges facing that person sitting behind that resolute desk? And they can't deal with a hard question from John Harwood, for God's sake. Bunch of goddamn b****s.
And they don't realize, like you said, they don't realize how bad it looks.
That's right.
PR-wise, what kind of optics were there? You always talk about optics. What kind of optics we're talking about with this?
This goes well beyond, and again, this is a symptom of that bubble being pierced. They think that it's just all ricocheting around the echo chamber. And that, oh, yeah, this will work great with the base because the base hates the media, too. But it just makes them look silly to almost everyone. We're going to play a clip of audio here in a few minutes from Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly on Fox News Channel was ripping, treating them like a bunch of babies, bunch of babies that they are. But meanwhile, here's the rest of the president today.
I mean, let me tell you, if you can't handle if you can't handle those guys, you know, then I don't think the Chinese and the Russians are going to be too worried about you.
There you go. It's the President of the United States laying into the Republicans like they deserve to be.
I mean, and I think you're right. I think it's more of Fox News and the conservative entertainment complex being a real problem, and one that they don't see. They don't think it's a problem because it's gotten to the point now where they only talk to one group, and that one group will believe anything they say and will you know, harumph them no matter what. But outside of that, everybody looks in and it's just like, you people are crazy. You know, you're completely disorganized, and this is the way it's been in Congress now for months into years.
Yeah. I mean, again,
it's just sort of this insanity, this constant, you know, frothing at the mouth craziness and disorganization and chaos.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of the Republican reaction, of course, to the Tea Party, which was, again, to look at the political expedience before the long term ramifications of teaming up with the Tea Party. In this case, with the debate, they were looking at the political expedience of playing to the room during that CNBC debate, played really well in the room. Ted Cruz, as we played last Thursday, Ted Cruz got a massive, massive round of applause. But outside of that, they don't get it. There's more to running for president than just that immediate little bubble of the room where the particular Republican debate takes place.
You know something I noticed that, and I can't phrase this properly, I apologize, but I noticed that you don't often hear, and I know that a lot's been made of this before because people say, oh, you know what, liberals don't like to say they're liberals. But you don't hear from Hillary Clinton, obviously Bernie talks about it. You don't hear from Hillary Clinton. You don't hear from people who are traditionally, and even entertainment-wise, people like John Oliver and Jon Stewart and those people. You don't hear them come out and say, I'm a liberal.
Right.
They're just – that has sort of – this sort of open-minded thinking, I think, has become more the default setting. Mm-hmm. Whereas every single time I hear one of these people talk. Now, especially Ted Cruz is famous for, but especially, you know, any of these people, whenever they talk, you constantly hear the word conservative. Conservative values, conservative this. I'm a conservative, conservative. We must be more conservative, conservative, conservative. And that really locks you into only one audience.
That's right.
That is, again, talking only to the bubble. And I think that by saying that, that tells people that you are you're a faction, you're a genre. Mm-hmm. You're not actually open-minded enough to see, like, I want to be president for the entire country. It's just conservative principles. Conservative, conservative, conservative.
Yeah, that's right. They've really zeroed in on trying to get that base, that far-right base to support
which I understand
them.
And it's the primaries. I get it. I get that that's usually what happens. But you don't hear that from everyone else.
Yeah,
because
no.
I think that everyone else has become this center-left that you and I talk about a lot.
That's right.
You know, this essentially everybody.
Yeah.
You know, this large group of people. And of course, there are conservatives throughout the country. You know, and I don't based solely on your political beliefs, I don't just shrug you off and say you're an asshole. You have to be an asshole first.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, just because I disagree with your politics doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Well,
but it does seem like they're just really focused in on making sure everyone in this very small bubble loves them, whereas everybody else is kind of going, it's not even a matter of being liberal or being whatever, we're just people.
Yeah, just be a grown-up, please.
Be
a responsible
grown-up.
Adult.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to play something from Ben Carson later on the show that is maybe the most damning bit of audio that we've ever had on the show with regard to Ben Carson and his mental well-being. I honestly think that after we play this audio that they should revoke his medical license or something, because this is nuts. What we're gonna play, but that, I mean, again, it all like adds into the ultimate conclusion, which is that these people are just not ready for the presidency whatsoever. There isn't a single candidate on that Republican stage. You know what? Strangely enough, the only person who could come close to actually being president, as far as I'm concerned, weirdly, Lindsey Graham. I mean, I think Lindsey Graham is the only one, and he's in last place.
I am Miss Lindsey.
Miss Lindsey is the most presidential of the Republican field, and
well,
he is
Miss Lindsey has experience.
Yeah.
Miss Lindsey is not completely off the deep end.
No.
So, yeah, you know.
He's built coalitions inside the U.S. Senate. And, you know, I mean, I'm not sitting here campaigning for Lindsey Graham. But in the grand scheme of things, Jesus. I mean, talk about a lack of
strength.
The rest of the candidates have no...
Yeah, I like shooting skeet.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong way. They have no...
strength.
They might like shooting skeet. I have no idea. Although, after we play this Ben Carson audio, I don't think it's possible for Ben Carson to shoot skeet.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even physically possible for him anymore. Okay. So, after we take a break, I want to read... Ted Cruz's latest remarks on the future debates. We talked about this a little bit at the top of the show with regard to Hannity and Limbaugh, but in order to get the full scope of how over the top they are at this point, how over the top whiny diaper baby they are, this Ted Cruz clip says it all. I mean, it's unbelievable that these people are not being summarily laughed off stage by everybody. Quick break, back with more show after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Welcome back to our Tuesday show. Thanks for joining us. It's already started to get dark at 5:30, which I have a serious issue with. There's
no reason for that. It's not civilized. No more clock touching.
Yeah, can we, I know. It is ridiculous.
Can we finally keep our hands off the goddamn clocks? Thank you. Okay, this clip from Megyn Kelly is really great. Megyn Kelly just spent, I don't know, a good 2 minutes ranting about the childish Republicans. Just ultimately saying, do they want me to give them a back massage? That's basically what she said. Here's Megyn Kelly on, again, Fox News Channel. And if the Republicans are too crazy and too childish for Fox News Channel, what does that say about these people? They're too whiny for Fox News. Here's a here's Megyn Kelly.
So now they're banding together to try to get the networks to make sure. You tell the audience, Chris, how hot do they want it in the debate hall?
67 degrees.
That needs to be in a contract. They can't have, they want all the candidates to receive similarly substantive questions. No so-called lightning rounds of questioning. Approval of any on-screen graphics aired during the debate. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. The network should commit that they will not ask hand-raising questions, yes or no questions, allow candidate-to-candidate questions, and then maybe like a foot massage or like a little, I mean.
No brown M&Ms.
Really?
No brown M&Ms. Get all the brown M&Ms out of the bowl.
Hey, I made that joke.
Yeah, like what are they going to do? What are one of these idiots going to do if he winds up becoming elected to an office where there are curveballs every minute of every day?
Oh my God, yes. I mean, curveballs that we don't even know about. I mean, there's decision making that goes on inside the Situation Room, inside the Oval Office every damn day that the American people will never hear about.
And we've talked about this before. I mean, I personally think that Donald Trump is so damn lazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't see him handling any of that to begin with.
Oh no!
You know, I'm gonna go to sleep.
I got a budget. Tell it to my people.
Tell it to my. You know what? Get my people in here, and they'll take care of it.
They're terrific. They'll come right through that big beautiful door. Big beautiful mm-hmm. door in the Oval Office. You come in and brief them. I'm gonna go jerk off and take a nap.
This is awful. I mean, these people are a fucking joke.
They really are.
And I say it again. I've said this so many times. You know, I want to talk to anyone who is a sensible conservative, and I just want to say, you know what? I don't necessarily disagree with everything that you believe in, but I don't know how you can look at most of these people, with very few exceptions, and not say, dear God, what has happened to us?
Yeah, but see, from
what has happened, like what Kasich says, you know, what has happened to the conservative movement in this country? How have we allowed these lunatics to take over?
In their view, though, they see their people as being less crazy than the Democrats, which is this, there's a weird projection that's been going on the Republican side for at least the last 15 years. The sort of, I know you are, but what am I kind of projection where, every criticism that you levy against the Republicans, they're so ensconced in that epistemic closure that they can't see the fact that, yes, the Democrats are being more grown up. The Republicans are not. They don't grasp that. They automatically assume that, well, oh, yeah, you know what? They're whining about the debate, but anything's better than Hillary.
Yeah. I don't dislike all of the whining lunacy mm-hmm. because they're Republican. I dislike Republicans now because of the whining lunacy.
Because of the whining, yeah, yeah. But you'll never convince them. That's the problem. No matter how much you illustrate the nonsense. I mean, I was debating debating a troll on Twitter. Barely. In my own defense, I was barely debating this person.
Right.
But, you know, she was going on and on about how the Democrats don't even have a Fox News debate. So how can you possibly call the Republicans babies when the Democrats entirely refuse to go on Fox News Channel? Well, by the way, you know what? Anything that Fox News could dish out, Trey Gowdy and the Republicans on the Benghazi committee dished out 10 times the harshness against right. Hillary Clinton for 11 consecutive hours. I would say that buys her some latitude on that front. Sure, I don't think there's a Fox News Democratic debate, which, by the way, why should they debate on Fox News Channel? Secondly, the front runner on the Democratic side has shown her chops standing up to Republicans for 30-plus years now.
Yeah.
So shut the F up. But this is all to illustrate that they'll never take responsibility. Never any personal responsibility from, you know, the personal responsibility party. It's all just, well, what about Hillary?
Yeah.
They never want to own it. They will never own this nonsense. And that's why, you know, we still live in a nation where, as of next November, it's going to be, the spread's going to be 4 points, 5 points at the very most. It's going to be 55-45, something like that, if not closer to 51-49.
Yeah, it's never a nail-biter. Like a massive blowout.
Yeah, no. And it should be. It should be. There should be no reason whatsoever that the Republicans get anywhere close to the amount of popular votes as the Democrats. Mm. Although I'm seeing polls now showing an electoral landslide for a would-be nominee Hillary Clinton.
Is it, please tell me it's Nate Silver, since he's always right.
I don't think it's Nate Silver. I don't think he's making a prediction that far ahead, but or maybe he has. I haven't seen 538
yet. I mean, the thing
yet.
Is, even if it were a landslide, the Republicans would learn nothing. Nothing.
No.
Because this already happened. They already lost among people who, quite frankly, the growing demographic in this country. And they said they were going to do something about it, and they're not doing a thing. They can't. Instead, they've got a candidate who says that he wants to frog march 11 million of them out of the country.
That's right. That's right. And another candidate who wants to base his tax plan on biblical tithing.
I think that's the thing. And I think at some point, either subtly or directly, we've discussed this before. But that to me is a really interesting feature of the Republican Party now, which is they are confronted with the reality. And, you know, the logic center of their brain, should it take over, and it usually does for about 2 minutes, would lead them to the notion that they have to do something. Like, we can't keep doing this. You know, we have to – remember when Bobby Jindal for like 2 seconds was like, you know what, we have to stop being the dumb party? Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody has those little epiphanies, those moments of as they say in AA, those moments of clarity. And then – it goes back in the opposite direction by a mile. It's like, we need to do something. We need to do something. And then along comes, you know, we need to do something to get the Latino vote and show them that we're not all against them. And the very next presidential election, you get Donald Trump saying that he wants to put 11 million of them on an Auschwitz train and send them back to Mexico City.
That's right.
It's like, just no, man. You're not learning. You're just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
In terms of – I'm not even talking in terms of like subjectively whether I agree with your opinions or not, but objectively what you need to do to win, the people you need to appeal to win. You know, demographic reality staring you right in the face, like you're looking down the barrel of a loaded gun.
That's right.
This is what you have to do. And they just – they can't do it. Mm-hmm. They're incapable of doing it.
So, I mean, here's another example. I mean, they've all got tax plans, right? They don't want to be challenged on their tax plans. They just want to describe what their tax plan is. They don't want to be told by a moderator that, for example, Jeb Bush's tax plan would create a $3.6 billion deficit over 10 years. Bobby Jindal's tax plan, an $11.3 billion deficit. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. That's not billions. That's trillions. Jeb Bush's tax plan would create a $3.6 trillion deficit. Bobby Jindal, an $11.3 trillion deficit. Meanwhile, Marco Rubio's tax plan creates a deficit of $6 trillion. Rick Santorum, $3.2 trillion. Donald Trump, big winner at $11.9 trillion.
No, you know what, but that's okay. Because Larry Kudlow, it's a great tax plan, and Larry Kudlow agrees. That's it. That's what he came back with.
Staggering.
Well, you know what, there's a guy who's on CNBC who says that my tax plan is interesting. Wow, okay.
Right.
Thanks.
And you know,
Trump is basically, when he quotes people now, it's like, well, it's like really movies, like when Pixels quotes like a blurb that says fantastically awful, and it's like fantastic. Won't fucking work, but interesting.
Right. They don't want anyone to tell them that their tax plans are stupid and will create gigantic deficits over 10 years. That's what happened in the CNBC debate again. It was like, and then Ted Cruz reduced it to, oh, yeah, well, Ben Carson, you can't do math, criticizing the moderators, saying the moderators were telling Ben Carson he can't do math. Well, you know what? Ben Carson can't do math, or at the very least, he's been told the wrong math.
But God, that was so wonderful. That whole speech from Cruz is beautiful because what he did, the entire thing, he may as well have just stood up there and said, straw man, straw man, straw man. I'm going to take the absolute worst possible connotation of what you said and what you asked and turn it into, Ben Carson can't do math. You called him an idiot.
You called him an idiot. That's you know, right. I said I asked him to explain his tax plan because the math doesn't add up. Oh, no, man, idiot.
Yeah, you know, the Republicans, the Republicans have become libertarians on Twitter. They're always debating a libertarian on Twitter. It's always that. It's always the Ted Cruz reaction. You know, and they don't, they just don't want to be challenged. Here's Ted Cruz's ultimate reaction to the debate. This is, I think this came down on Monday. What you wouldn't have is a bunch of left-wing operatives. He's referring to the CNBC moderators as less left-wing operatives.
Yes. Rick Santelli. Always exactly. Keep that in mind. Rick Santelli, who started the Tea Party.
That's right. He asked a question. He was one of the moderators. Left-wing operatives whose object is that whoever the Republican nominee is, they want him as battered and bruised as possible so the Democrat wins in November. Instead, you'd have moderators that were trying to help conservatives make a decision who's going to be the best and strongest conservative to represent us.
But that's not their job.
It's not their job.
That's not their job. Is not. He just said it right there, to help conservatives. The job of a debate moderator is not to help conservatives.
No.
It's to be adversarial and say, look, you know what? This you need to answer this question because this won't work.
And besides, they so seldom come out of their bubble that when they right. do, you want to ask them the hard questions.
But that really is what he thinks. You just hit it on the head. That's exactly what they think. They think they've been in the bubble for so long. You know what the job of a – you know, it's like the Sarah Palin position flexible thing. Mm-hmm. She has no idea what the job of a vice president is. You know what the job of a moderator is? Well, according to Fox News, the job of a moderator is to help conservatives.
To help them. That's
you
right.
should help us.
To be friendly.
Yeah, and you know what you should do? You should give us candy. At the end, we should have like I think we should each be able to go over and walk up to the podium where the moderators are, and there should be a jar of lollipops, but no green ones. Don't like green lollipops. Just some lollipops there. Sorry. That way, whenever we want, we can just go take some lollipops because we've been good boys and girls.
Cruz said, "You know, how about we stop letting left-wing liberals moderate Republican debates? How about instead of a bunch of attack journalists, we actually have real journalists? Yes, real journalists like." Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and maybe even Glenn Beck. That's who he's talking about. A real journalist is a former Morning Zoo DJ named Rush Limbaugh who got into conservative radio 30 years ago or whatever it was, 25 years ago, because it was good for his career, because that's where the money was. And he's a real journalist. Rush Limbaugh hasn't done a day of journalism in his entire life. Are you kidding me? And that's the delusion that's going on the right. Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity's a bigger faker than Rush Limbaugh is. They've both got all these Republicans completely snowed. It's all a big act. Jesus. All right, we're going to take another break, come back. We're going to talk about Ben Carson right after this. Hey, folks, Bob here. Unlike the neck-bearded millennials, I shave every damn day. And for the last few weeks, I've been using Harry's shaving products, and I'll never go back to the stores for blades or ever pay those prices again. The Harry's razor fits in my hand and it fits my face. It's a quick and comfortable shave with really smooth results. See, Harry's was started by a couple of guys who passionately wanted to make shaving a better experience. In the process, they bought a German factory that's been making these engineered blades for 100 years. That means no more middleman, no more middleman prices. The blades come straight from that factory at factory prices. Now you can get a Harry's starter kit for just $10 if you use the code RELM, RELM, when you go to harrys.com. That's the razor, a month's supply of blades, and a lathering gel so thick you'll swear it's a dessert topping. And a little travel case to keep your blade fresh on the road. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. And say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code RELM at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month of great shaves for just $10. Use the code RELM at harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Harry's.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. You shop at Amazon, especially for the holidays. Holidays just around the corner. Make sure to enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you in advance. And also, make sure to buy your razor at Harry's. I don't know why in that commercial I decided to pronounce Harry's. Harry's.
It's like the suddenly I'm Mr. Northeastern man.
Harry's.
Go to harrys.com to buy all your raises.
I watched Chopped last night.
Oh, yeah, really?
Like they had a dish with scallops. And Jeffrey Zakarian constantly pronounces it scallops.
Oh, he
and
says
that makes
scallops.
Me crazy. Like every time I hear it, I'm just like, stop.
He says scallops.
Scallops.
Jesus. Was Bobby Flay there? Did he say Chipotle?
No, Flay is never on that show. It's, okay. You know what, though? Food Network so desperately needs to get new talent in there. And I know they try to do it every year with that stupid, you know, next Food Network star.
Yeah.
Which is not, I mean, the last guy clicked pretty well, and he's doing well, but.
Which
they
guy?
Like they have like the same 10 chefs.
Yeah. Which guy? You know, which guys
same
do
it? 10 celebrity chefs.
Which next Food Network star is clicking well now?
The guy who used to be a Miami Dolphin.
Oh, and he was I have no idea.
Barbecue guy. He won last season. I mean, all I know is his show is at least, it actually got on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
as opposed to the kid from like a couple of years ago who, you know, he won and they bounced him off on Cooking Network and then he just vanished.
Yeah, did one show. And they also sometimes have the Sandwich King guy.
The Sandwich King, right. That's true, yeah. But still, he's not, you know, they're big name talent. They haven't bothered going out, like, honestly, searching for a new celebrity chef, like somebody who's actually known, somebody who's a great chef. Jesus Christ, we got like 20, 30 amazing, amazingly well-known chefs here in L.A. Mm-hmm. They've never tapped any of them.
Yeah, and Bobby Flay's got like 12 shows.
Exactly.
So, I mean, are there any shows available? After Bobby Flay gets them
my
all.
My favorite, I watched, I can't believe we're talking about this. my favorite was last night, we watched, they did one of the Chopped All-Stars, and they had Mark Murphy on, who's normally a judge. Mark Murphy is f***ing awesome, because he behaves as if, like, what am I doing here? How, you know, what, I'm just, I don't even care. Like, I'm just getting paid a lot of money, and, oh, I can't cook, I'm bounced out in the first round, f*** it, whatever. I don't care. They always try to describe him like, you know, Mark Murphy, who's known for owning two restaurants in New York that are basically open late and serve wine really, really cheap. Thanks. Yeah. Welcome, Mark Murphy, everybody.
You know, just one fewer show for Bobby Flay, and they can make room for another chef, I think.
Pretty soon, the next show on there is going to be Flay versus Flay.
And they'll be preparing tasty libations from Chipotle.
Tasty libations from Chipotle.
All right, so getting back to politics here. Ben Carson, and I missed this last week. This was a thing maybe Thursday or Friday of last week, and I'm just now catching up to speed on this because there's just so much Ben Carson stuff that it's hard to keep up with every single last thing. This should really disqualify Ben Carson, not only from being president, but also from being a brain surgeon anymore. This is absolutely crazy. Ben Carson evidently went through an unnecessary prostate surgery when he had prostate cancer, and he apparently, he claims, cured his prostate cancer using Manitech natural supplements, herbal supplements.
Yeah, the Manitech thing is
Manitech.
That's fun.
So it was still recommended to him that he have his prostate removed, but he didn't need to, at least according to his own diagnosis. So he decided to have his prostate removed. Anyway, here's Ben Carson talking at a seminar for Manitech about unnecessarily having his prostate removed.
And they gave me the website, and I subsequently contacted Dr. Reg, and we had quite a conversation about possibilities, and he sent me some product and prescribed a regimen. And I started taking the product, and within about 3 weeks, my symptoms went away. And I was really quite amazed. And I actually toyed with the idea of not having surgery done, because it was recommended to me that I undergo surgery. And I was saying, well, if my symptoms went away in 3 weeks, maybe this could be controlled. And I started reading more about the theory behind it, the bolstering of the immune system. And of course, the immune system is the thing that detects and destroys cancers. We are all producing cancers all the time.
See, what he's doing here is he's making a case against having surgery, that this supplement, this regimen
right.
from Manatech did the trick and solved his prostate issue. But then he's going to go on to say here that he did it he had the surgery anyway.
But if we have healthy immune systems, they're able to identify and destroy them. And I was saying, you know, this makes an awful lot of sense. But then I began to realize that having a high profile, that if I did that, a lot of other people might follow that example too, but they may not be quite as diligent as I was about taking the product. And there would be a lot of needless deaths, and I didn't feel as though I could have that on my conscience. So I went ahead and had the surgery done. Now, interestingly enough...
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, so one of two things
By the way, two words that basically describe nothing that Ben Carson ever talks about. Interestingly enough... You know, interestingly enough, if you're not asleep already, like I could hear him at like at a dinner party where everybody's just please make it stop. You know, interestingly enough, no, just make it stop.
There's nothing interesting about this. You're completely uninteresting. I have a couple more observations after one last break. Back right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I got a small programming note for this week. We're going to be doing a free show tomorrow. Free show on Wednesday. Postmortem show on Wednesday. And here's some news. We're going to be doing the after party on Wednesday, too. Because I've got to do some things Thursday and Friday. I won't be able to do the shows on Thursday and Friday. But we're going to do all the shows that we have to do for the remainder of this week. We're going to do those all on Wednesday. So, again, you get the obviously the free show today, post-mortem show today for Patreon people. Then on Wednesday, free show, post-mortem show, and after party. That all happens on Wednesday of this week. So watch for it. We're not going to robo-post it and delay it to Thursday and Friday like we would normally do. We're just going to roll everything out all at once. A big just blah. We're just going to spit it out all over the place. Just going to vomit it all up all day Wednesday. Okay, so back to Ben Carson. A couple of observations on this thing with the prostate surgery. Either he had the surgery unnecessarily, because he really didn't need to have his prostate removed, which, by the way, if you're a guy, it's a pretty big deal because there's all kinds of ramifications in terms of the plumbing. You have your prostate removed. It's kind of bad news. But the other thing is, if he had had the surgery done legitimately, like he really needed to do it, he's lying to the supporters of Manatech by saying he really didn't need it. Like the Manatech products cured him, so therefore he really didn't feel as if he needed the surgery. He's either having unnecessary surgery or he's lying to the people because he got paid to be a spokesman for Manatech. So one of the other thing, either way, to me it's disqualifying for Ben Carson. On top of the fact that he's completely unqualified for the job, he's kind of an idiot when it comes to foreign policy. He's got ridiculous ideas domestically. And frankly, he's a crackpot. And I don't even know how he's able to continue practicing medicine, for God's sake. I guess there's crazy people in medicine all over the place.
Oh, sure. Of course there are. You know, I've always said I don't care what your personality is or what your beliefs are. If you're, you know, if you're a brilliant surgeon, I want you. I don't even care. You know, I'd rather have Dr. House than, you know, somebody who's a raging asshole to you than, you know, somebody who cares a lot but is lousy.
Yeah, I mean, but you,
so I don't care. He can believe all the crap he wants. If he's a brilliant surgeon, he's a brilliant surgeon.
Yeah, that's maybe so. But I don't know. If he's having unnecessary surgeries, so he could set a good example. That's crazy. I mean, a prostate surgery, that's not something you do just willy-nilly. You go around saying, yeah, I'm going to have a prostate surgery. I'm going to set a good example for people by having my prostate removed. Yeah. Jesus. I don't know if I want that guy. I mean, there's got to be a second or third best brain surgeon out there. It's probably not that much worse than Ben Carson. I mean, ultimately, is the second best brain surgeon in the country, like, so unqualified that he would do a far worse job than Ben Carson would? I don't know. But at least that second best brain surgeon isn't going around saying, I had unnecessary prostate surgery. Had my prostate taken out. As I said, I want to set a good example for the people. Also, I like the anesthesia.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you like some anesthesia? Hey, let's bring in my running mate, Paper Willie, to talk about his favorite anesthesia. He's running for vice president, Paper Willie is. He's a puppet made out of a sandwich bag. Good day to you, Paper Willie.
Go f*** yourself. Paper Willie here is telling you, I ain't gonna have my motherf***ing prostate removed. I don't give a f*** what you think or what anyone else thinks. It's my goddamn prostate, and it's staying in my teeth. You ain't gonna touch your teeth, you goddamn butcher.
Oh, Paper Willie, I ain't no butcher. I'm a world-renowned brain surgeon. I do good things. I revive and heal people.
And you can take all the other goodies with it, too.
Oh, Paper Willie, you know what? You're being mean to me now. You're going to have to go right back in my pocket.
Go f*** yourself, Dr.
Thank you very much. That was Paper Willie, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good day. Bye now. Have some unnecessary surgery on me. Dr. Ben Carson.
Yep. Part of Ben Carson's tax plan, free unnecessary surgeries for everybody. Part of his health care plan. All right, moving along here. Hey, boy, liberals really know how to screw things up, don't they? Jeez. So let's start with the anonymous thing. You wrote a really good article today in the Daily Banter about, you know, the big news item from Monday, which was
the big non-reveal.
Yeah, exactly. Which was like, we all
where,
got the
where
news.
Someone claiming to be anonymous said, hey, see this paste bin that anybody can access?
Yeah.
Go look at a bunch of names there. We promise that's these people are associated with the KKK.
That's right. It was
and everybody just went, oh, okay.
Yep. Everyone started retweeting. I mean, it got spread. It was all over the place. It was John Cornyn. It was several other senators, Republican senators, of course, a bunch of different mayors. Yep. And it turns out it wasn't anonymous at all.
Yeah.
And frankly, very early in the day, I saw that information. I was looking on, I don't know, it was one of the things linked off of Twitter. There was a discussion of it going on. And they were saying basically like, no, this isn't anonymous. This is just some guy.
Yeah.
And you don't really know because anonymous, as you wrote here, is a collective. It's 1,000 people, maybe. We don't know how
and
many
it's
people.
It's various factions. And since they're, you know, for all of their commenting on how transparent they are and they require everything to be transparent for everyone else, they themselves are not very transparent.
No, they're not.
You know, it could be a bunch of warring factions at all times. And we've seen that before. You know, we saw during the Ferguson controversy, we saw where one
group or one person claiming to be anonymous and claiming to be heading up the op outed the wrong guy when they were trying. I think it was they were trying to find the name of the cop who killed Mike Brown.
Right.
And they outed the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you had was these other people claiming to be the real anonymous coming forward and saying, no, that's not the right anonymous. And yeah, I mean, anybody can claim to be anonymous. Jesus.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, then this guy clearly wasn't. It was, I mean, that information was available right away, but it didn't stop everyone from spreading it all around. And again, it was untrue. And what's going to happen now?
USA Today reported on it.
USA Today had it.
Yeah,
Jesus.
USA Today ran it. And then, of course, all of these other, you know, these libertarian-type websites, you know, the sort of far-left version of libertarian were, of course, going crazy with it. And, you know, this is information you all need to know and putting it all out there. It's like, no, you know what? There's a reason for all the bitching that people do about how journalism sucks and, you know, it's the document dumps, that's the wave of the future and all that kind of horse shit. No. You know what? The reason you rely on journalists is that they have experience, they can vet things, they can add context, and most importantly, you have a general idea that if they get something wrong, they'll correct the mistake because it's important to them. They feel that they have a responsibility to the truth.
Yeah.
And for all of this other talking about, and I'm going to put the truth in, you know, as Dan Bidondi uses it, the truth in fucking quotation marks here, you know, as absolutely just slavish as those people are to the supposed truth. No, you're never going to find out where they get their information. You're never going to find out, you know, who are members of Anonymous. And that's a real problem.
Yeah. And especially.
And so then you get this You get a bunch of people who were basically slandered and libeled all across social media.
Yeah, totally. And there are many other dimensions to this, too. First of all, Anonymous, insofar as there is an anonymous voice who's coming out and announcing things when things are going to be scheduled and whatnot, they're going to do their KKK dump on Thursday. Yeah. Okay. The dump that happened Monday might be accurate, but we don't know, and we don't even know if they're part of Anonymous. So, right.
And that's the thing. We'll never know.
Right.
You'll never really know whether that was accurate.
The other thing here is, too, what we're looking at is the early stages of hacker wars, where now it's going to be sort of a arms race between hackers to see who can one-up the other with regard to getting into this kind of information and then dumping it to the public.
We've just destroyed the idea of what the truth is.
Yeah.
And we've watered it down and it's become absolute nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have websites and when you have, you know, honestly, I'll bring up Bidondi again. When you have websites and when you have these movements, truther, truth, you know, that use that word and throw it out willy-nilly, that, you know, it waters down the meaning of it, especially when what they're pitching is nonsense.
This is all part of the dynamic that's occurring online right now, where there is very little critical thinking, where it's all about knee-jerk sharing and retweeting. It's not about careful analysis of things that you're putting your name on, which, you know what, quite frankly, especially on Facebook, where most people have their actual names attached to their accounts, you'd think people would be a little more selective in terms of what they were circulating around. At least reading it first and kind of giving it a skunk eye a little bit, giving it a little side eye and going, okay, I'm going to start reading this, but I'm going to keep a close eye on the facts here and make sure they're not playing fast and loose with this. Also, how do we know who Anonymous is? You know, I'm about to share this thing about John Cornyn being a member of the KKK, allegedly. I don't even know who this information comes from. I don't see a name. This could come from anywhere. This could be completely made up. There is no verifying any of this.
Yeah. And if you've got an issue with it, this is something I put in my piece. If you have an issue with it, if you know, if you've got contradictory evidence, if you've got stuff that proves that they're wrong, there's nowhere to take it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's no one to go to and say, look, you got this wrong.
Yeah. And meanwhile, this is I don't mean to sit here and scold liberals, but I mean, look, I think we've got to be, especially considering what's going on the Republican side, we've got to be like really careful about how we behave, because all it takes is a little bitty teeny tiny opening
for the press to suddenly go, well, you know what, it's the same on both sides. Let me look at them talking about Anonymous and trying to out John Cornyn being a member of the KKK and all these mayors. But it turned out to be not true. I guess they're just like Trump and the Republicans and the Fox News Channel people.
Yeah, it's insane. That's absolutely correct.
And meanwhile, the left cannot stop demanding that the perfect be the enemy of the good. And this is what's happening in today, big off-year election, and in Ohio especially, where in Ohio, really, the first Midwestern state to have marijuana legalization on a ballot. This is going to be a constitutional amendment in Ohio legalizing both recreational and medicinal use of marijuana. I think it's a pretty big deal in Ohio, of all places. And where's the biggest opposition coming from besides old people and conservatives? Of course, it's coming from the left. Green Party come out against this. All these other marijuana legalization organizations coming out against it. Why? Probably because they don't have intellectual ownership of the initiative, the ballot initiative. And they're claiming that the reason you should vote against this ballot initiative in Ohio, by the way, it's issue 3. So vote yes. If you're in Ohio and you hear this show before you go vote, vote yes on issue 3, vote no on issue 2. So it's no on 2, yes on 3. So they're complaining that issue 3 creates a marijuana growing monopoly in Ohio, where the investors who back the ballot initiative are the ones who are going to decide who gets to grow the marijuana in Ohio. Well, that's not entirely true. One, first of all, there's going to be 10 different growers, which is hardly a monopoly. Two, you can grow it yourself if you want to. You can have a plant in your backyard and grow marijuana on your own and have your own supply if you want to. You have to get a license for it, of course, but that's, you know, it's marijuana. So be it. But I don't know when trust busting became a thing in the battle to get marijuana legalized. I had no idea when we got to make sure there's no crony capitalism in marijuana legalization. That was never a thing. I thought it was all about ending the drug war and making sure that black men aren't going to prison for nonviolent drug offenses. Instead, it's now like, oh, well, okay, well, we can still have the drug war. We can still send all these people to prison, spend $120 million every year in Ohio alone on the drug war. But because, oh, it creates a monopoly. Well, even though it doesn't. And then some liberals are saying, well, wait till next November 2016, when another ballot initiative will go on there legalizing marijuana without the monopoly going on. Well, first of all, that ballot initiative isn't a ballot initiative yet. They don't have the petition signatures yet. And notice what's going to happen to that ballot initiative when this one fails to pass. It's like, you know, you're not going to screw one ballot initiative legalizing marijuana and make it politically a third rail in that state and then get another one that's better. You do this one and then you fix this one as time goes on. You do another constitutional amendment. You do another ballot initiative removing the monopoly. That's the logical step. That's the pragmatic move. But, of course, we can't have that. We got to have everything. Everything's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be right down to exactly the way we want it. If the Affordable Care Act doesn't have a public option, well, we got to kill the bill. Got to get rid of that because we just can't have health. Got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Even though all you'll have is a critically injured baby. That's kind of wet. So, thanks, liberals.
Of course.
And I know. It's never popular when we shame and scold the left.
No, actually, that's regardless, it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that the far left especially are the least bit sensible.
Yep. So this ballot initiative fails. Don't expect another one next year. Don't expect another one in 10 years. Or maybe in 10 years. And then you can explain to, I mean, all you liberals who are voting against it because of this alleged monopoly thing. You can explain to all those people going to prison for nonviolent drug offenses. You can explain to them about the monopoly thing. So, yeah, you don't want crony capitalism in Ohio. And, by the way, have a nice time in prison for the next 5 years. Because you had, like, an ounce of marijuana in your pocket. Stupid, 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 stupid. Okay, we got the post-mortem show coming up. If you're a subscriber at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you can hear that
it's sort of a, well, good Lord, it's becoming sort of a mini after party. It's been quite obscene lately. And, yeah, so that happens at the tail end of every free show. You can get it at patreon.com/Bob and Chez if you subscribe at the $5 a month level. At $10 a month, you get the post-mortem show, plus you get the after party. And then at the $15 level, you get the post-mortem show, the after party, and you get an unbleeped, not safe for work, commercial-free version of this show. Lots of good stuff. You want to hear the Paper Willie stuff without the bleeps. That's what I'm being told, that everyone loves the... everyone loves Paper Willie! And it's even more fun without the bleeps. By the way, I need to get a new paper bag sound effect. My paper bag sound effect is pretty much wrecked at this point. All right, that's the post-mortem show. It's coming up next. The rest of you will see you on Wednesday for all of our shows. All of the rest of the shows this week will happen on Wednesday. See you then, folks. Bye-bye.